Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here on The Watchman on Omega Radio Network. Good to be with everyone on this 17th day of November 2017. We're just a week away from the great celebration of Thanksgiving, a time where family and friends will be gathering together. And wouldn't it be just an amazing thing to have such an opportunity to be in the same place with people that you love and care about when everything goes south? You ever think that way, or is that just kind of strange thinking? I kind of like the idea of being around a lot of food, a lot of turkey and all the great stuff and a lot of friends and, you know, just having a great time and being able to navigate from there. Nevertheless, whatever happens next week or in the days ahead, there's a lot of talk about Planet X. There's a lot of talk about Nibiru that you may be hearing, and there's just, again, a lot of conversation about the days that we're in, but do not get weary of hearing, listening, or speaking this truth to your friends and family, your neighbors, your loved ones. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is a very serious time on the planet, and there's a great work of God that needs to be done, and there are many projects in the Bible that God has employed individuals to build, whether it's Noah building an ark, or whether it's Moses building a temple, or whether it's Solomon building a massive temple, right? Or Nehemiah building a wall. There are so many projects in the Bible where the people were called to gather together to do a work. One of my favorites is when King David was ready to leave, and he had a pattern of this glorious palace he wanted to build for the Lord. But because he was a man of war, there was blood on his hands, he couldn't build it. So he had to defer to his son, and so he gave his son, the heir to his throne, Solomon, the pattern, and then he called, David did, all the elders of Israel to gather together and to supply Solomon with everything he needed to build the house of the Lord. And it was built in 7 years, and it was an amazing project. So we have to ask ourselves today, what is the major building project of the Lord today? Are we supposed to gather together and build another church on a corner? Is it to build the ark, you know, or arks around the world, and like as in the days of Noah? What is the building project really? Well, when I step back and take a realistic view through the biblical lens, when I seek to understand and answer the question, what is the building project of the Lord today, over, I cannot escape Ephesians chapter 4. I cannot escape this because this seems to be the center of the Lord's heart. This seems to be the very center of what God has been doing, is doing, and is going to complete it, all right? There has to be the beginning of a project and the completing of a project. Now, I'm going to do this step by step today because I think it's important to get our understanding on things like this as well as the natural things that are going on. But I would like to go to, I'm going to hit to Ephesians 4 in a second, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to begin in verse 10. All right. Now, you could go back and do all the homework by reading the verses before and the verses after to keep everything in context. But I do want to begin here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, because of God's special favor to me, this is the Apostle Paul, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is saying that, you know, in any building project, you need foundation. And so Paul laid a foundation 2,000 years ago to this building project. And he said that that foundation was Jesus Christ. Okay? So now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to make our way over to chapter 4 here in just a little bit. And in verse, oh, I may as well pick it up in verse 19. You ready? So Ephesians 2:19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Now listen, we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, who is the foundation? Jesus Christ is the foundation. We just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So again, he's saying to the Gentiles, along with the Jews, he's talking about all of his holy people in verse 20, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. So you know that in the very beginning of building a foundation, you have to have a cornerstone, a beginning part. So the very beginning of this entire house is Christ. He is the first, and he is also the last. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. But what's important for you and I to know in our generation is that we are a part of God's house. We are members of his body. We are stones, spiritual stones, in the house of God. So let's keep this straight for a moment. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11 tell us that there's a foundation that was laid by the Apostle Paul, and that foundation was Jesus Christ. Now we just read in Ephesians chapter 2 that the apostles and prophets laid the foundation, and we are his house. I love that in verse 20. We are his house that have been built on this foundation. Now let's keep reading in 21. It says, we who believe are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also joined together as part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So we are his temple, we are his house, and we are his dwelling place. I want you to really take note on this. We are his temple, we are his house, and we are his dwelling place. Sounds like a magnificent work, right? Now, this house, you and I have to recognize in our generation, has been in building or under construction for what? 2,000 years, all right? So I want to go quickly, before I get to Ephesians 4, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So let's keep everything in context. Let's head over to 1 Peter in chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4, okay? So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. All right, so again, we have consistency. Jesus Christ, the foundation, the cornerstone of the foundation. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you. as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priest who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please him because of Jesus Christ, as the scriptures express it. I am placing a stone in Jerusalem, a chosen cornerstone. Anyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe. But for those who reject him, the stone that was rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. And the scripture also says that he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. So again, we're listening to the truth of the Word of God that is telling us, and I want to go back to verse 5. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And now God is building you, believer, beloved, as living stones. You are a living stone into his spiritual temple. All right, so now we have the material of this house is the spiritual stones. Okay, and there's a great understanding to this that we've got to get to. So let's just look at some things. Well, before we do that, let's go to Hebrews. Let's just go a little bit deeper, and let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, and let's look at let's go to verse 3. So it says this in Hebrews 3:3, but Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a fine house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but God is the one who made everything. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house, but only as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, the faithful Son, was in charge of the entire household. And we are God's household. If we keep up our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. All right, so we are God's household again. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're gonna wrap this up here in just a few moments. But in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 11. All right, verse 11. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. The apostles, now these are the gifts. These are gift ministries, offices, anointings to the church. What is the church? The church is his body. The church is his house. The church is his temple. The church is his dwelling place. Okay? And the church is not some disconnected part. Remember, the church is connected to the chief cornerstone. The church is connected to the foundation. So he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, said the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians. Your life is not some disconnected, wandering star in the universe. You're not a cloud without water. You're not just some empty vessel that's floating around waiting to go to heaven one day. Your life is deeply spiritually, intrinsically interconnected with God's eternal purpose that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. So don't think for a moment that there's no substance in your life. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. You are a fully apprehended vessel. You are a spiritual stone, but you're more than that because these are just allegories of what God is trying to say. But you are a member of his eternal abode, okay? Now, in verse 11 again, he is the one who gave these gifts to the church. So the church has received this gift, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, you know that these gifts are commonly known as the fivefold ministry. Now, this is really important that you understand this as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's say that you live in Timbuktu and you have come to an encounter with God up on a mountain somewhere, that the Lord just came to you like he did the Apostle Paul when he knocked him off his high horse, right, on his way to Damascus to kill people. And so the Lord encountered Paul in the wilderness. There was no church meeting going on. Let's say that you, in the like manner, have been encountered by God in Timbuktu on a mountaintop between you and God. He revealed his son, Jesus Christ, and you received Jesus into your life. Wow, what an amazing beginning to your eternal journey, right? The thing that God would do next is what he did in the Apostle Paul's life. What did he do? God began to send people to the Apostle Paul for instruction, for community, for all the different aspects of what it means to be a thing greater than yourself. In other words, what God sends into your life, wherever you are today, you must have these ministry gifts in some fashion, in some form, in some measure, as a part of your life in order to build you up. Watch this. So God gave what is commonly called the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then in verse 12, it says their responsibility, or the responsibility of this fivefold ministry, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. There's that building word again, that building. Remember, there's projects. From the beginning of time, there's always projects in biblical projects. But we are part of the greatest building project that has ever been employed, that God began 2,000 years ago when he laid a foundation in his son, in his blood, as the chief cornerstone. Come on. And every believer around the world in the last 2,000 years has been brought in to be a spiritual stone in this house. Now, we're not at the foundation anymore, folks. You know that. We are not back at foundation. That foundation was laid 2,000 years ago. There's only one Jesus Christ. And this habitation, this dwelling place, this temple, this house, this building of God has been growing up for 2,000 years. And I am convinced that we have come to the shoulders. Someone write that down. The shoulder ministry. We have seen over 2,000 years the ankles and the legs up to the knees, up to the thighs, into the midsection, up into the breast, and we've been growing up. Now we're coming, I believe, our generation is the shoulder generation. And hold that in view, because we're going to talk about the deep spiritual truth of how in this building we've come to the shoulder. Because, you know, we're going to talk about how the head is going to be joined to this body. He who is the first is also the last. He who is the beginning is also the end. And when this body is complete, the head is going to join this body. And we know that head is Jesus Christ. And he's been watching and waiting. And this building ministry has been going on for 2,000 years. But your life and my life must have the touch. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Why? Because without it, we don't grow properly. And a lot of people that believe in Jesus are not going to where the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are. They're not allowing themselves to come in submission to this fivefold ministry so that that ministry could touch their lives. Now, this has nothing to do with people, by the way. These are God's gifts. These are God's anointings. It has nothing to do with man, but those gifts and anointings are in men and women, and they minister through them to the people to bring them up. And to do what again? It says in 12, the responsibility of the fivefold ministry is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. For how long? It says in verse 13, until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. You see, your life and my life can only come to maturity and to the full stature of Christ when those ministry gifts are employed in our lives. These are gift ministries to you. And I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. Let's say I'm the guy in Timbuktu. I'm on a mountain. I get an encounter with God, and I believe. It kind of happened that way with me, but rather than on a mountain, it was in my bedroom, you know, 35 years ago, with nobody else around, just on the floor, having heard things for several months. Well, in my bedroom, I asked Christ to come in, and I had an encounter with God. But immediately, God introduced to my life an apostle and a prophet and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I had the full blessing of the fivefold ministry for 3.5 years in my life. And then the apostle in my life, who I called affectionately my Pastor Paul, Pastor Paul Carroll, he went to be with the Lord. And so there, my life actually had the divine touch of God the way it's supposed to be. And so is your life to have that. That's what we call, quote unquote, going to church. Now, some people go to church to sit in a pew, but they never subject themselves to the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which is a very deep spiritual intrinsic work of the Holy Spirit, because those anointings are designed by God to reach into the very core of our existence to get us prepared. Let me tell you what I'm saying here. You're a spiritual stone. Do you remember how Solomon built his temple? You go back to 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and you know it took 7 years for the temple to be built, right? But the temple was made of these massive stones. Where were those stones prepared? They were not prepared in the temple that was being built, because there was no allowance for the sound of hammer or any such thing. The stones were prepared in the rock quarry, where they were hewing out the rock and hewing out those stones. They would shape those stones, and you would hear the hammer in the rock quarry. And then when the stone was fully prepared, they would bring it and set it in the temple. Well, you and I, as spiritual stones, we are being shaped and fashioned in the rock quarry of this world, so to speak. And when God has accomplished the shaping of our lives, he then sets us into the temple. Now, you might say, well, as soon as I believed, I'm a member of the body. It's true. You are. And I am specifically designed by God to be fit into the body. He sees our completed state, but he sees the end. Then he begins a process of shaping us into what he sees us to be. Then the reality of our being set into this eternal abode, which is what everything is really all about. Your eternal existence is going to become very realistically the dwelling place of God Almighty. Your existence is his eternal dwelling. It's beyond comprehension, is it not? Well, let's go a little bit deeper here. Let's go a little bit deeper, because we're talking about foundation. We're talking about a building. We're talking about a temple that has been under construction for 2,000 years. Now, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, and let's talk about where we are in this building project, because I made a statement, and I stand by it, that I believe that we are in the ministry right now of the shoulders. I believe that we've come to the shoulder ministry. At this time in the history of the world, after 2,000 years of a building being constructed, and that's been happening all over the world, the true church. You see, not everybody that goes to church is the church. You know that, and I know that. Not everybody that preaches the gospel and claims himself to be anything is anything. Because if the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is not anointed to bring people to transformation and get them set into the house, in other words, equip them, build them up to bring them to the full and mature space that God wants them to be, that's not a valid ministry. Now, that's a tough word for everybody, but the ministry of God upon our lives is a ministry that is constantly growing us up. And beloved, if you are not growing up into Christ in character, in nature, in spiritual things, maybe it's because there's something missing in your life, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. For me personally, I want to be wherever that true ministry of God is. I will move my family. I will move my house. I will change my job. I want my life to be caught up into the eternal purpose. And I'm not going to stay away from the fivefold ministry so I could keep my job and pay my bills while my spiritual life is stunted in its growth. No, I'm going to move to where the word of God really is. And we live in a time where everybody keeps saying it's few and far between where there are true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you know, what I've learned about being an apostle, and I'm not saying I am one, I'm just saying this is what I've learned about being one. It doesn't mean you have a silk suit and drive a fancy car and everybody calls you sir. No, the apostle, according to scripture, is the offscouring of the earth. They're the despised, despicable, hated. That's what Paul said an apostle was. But listen, again, your eternal existence is more important than your personal now. right now that you and I are touching in this horizontal world, this physical world, is temporary. Everything that we see is temporary. So the most important decision you're ever going to make is to make sure that the Spirit of God leads you to a place where the Spirit of God is at work in a fivefold ministry so that your life can be built up. That is amazing, if you ask me. But now let's get to Isaiah chapter 9. We come to Isaiah chapter 9, and I want to pick it up in verse 6, a very familiar passage to many people. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Watch this. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Uh-oh. We know who the child is. That was Yeshua, Jesus. He was born to us. A son is given to us. We know the Son of God is Jesus Christ. The government, the authority, the dominion will rest on his shoulders. Now watch. In heaven, if you will, Jesus is a singular person, right? He's got a head, he's got a neck, he's got shoulders, he's got breasts, he's got loins, he's got legs, he's got feet, hands, arms. He's complete as an individual. Allegorically speaking, however, he's the head. He's the head. And his body is the church. That's how it is in the spirit world. He is the foundation. He is the head. But the government rests upon his shoulders. And what does God want? God wants his government to be employed on this planet. But that will happen when that generation comes who represent the shoulder. You and I don't put ourselves in the body where we want to be. We weren't there 2,000 years ago to be the very beginning of the building on the foundation, Jesus Christ, where they laid the beams and they built the walls. That's not who we are. We're not back there. We're at the end of 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 the ages. And we have come to the place of the shoulder ministry where the government of God will rest upon a people in the earth that will manifest and put on display and demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God in this earth. In our disputing with the powers of darkness, the kingdom of God, the authority, the government of God is going to be upon a people known as the shoulder ministry. Now, that's not enough evidence, I don't think. So let's move on just a little bit further. We know that these are the royal titles that were given to Jesus: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. So Jesus Christ is seated upon a throne right now. He's ruling and reigning as the seed of David according to the flesh. But in the spirit, he is the Almighty God. We know that. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 tells us about the throne that was given to the Messiah after his resurrection, after his crucifixion on the cross. We know this, that Christ is seated at the right hand of God right now, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool, principalities and powers being made subject unto him. I'm quoting out of the book of Peter. So we know that Christ is already enthroned, and we know that he has many crowns, and we know that he's already victorious. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for his body to grow up into him, and now he wants to place his governmental authority, end of the ages, when the powers of darkness are rising like never before. God is wanting to bring that governmental power and authority to rest upon the shoulder of the church. And if you don't understand this, if I don't understand this, we don't know who we are. But who are we? We are a people that have been called by God in our generation. He's chosen us. We have not chosen him. And he has chosen you and I to be a governmental people. That's what you're being prepared for. Whether you're like Joseph in the prisons, whether you're like David in the wilderness, he's raising governors up. And you and I are going through our experiences. God is fashioning us, but I guarantee you he's preparing you to be a governor within his government on this earth at this time. Do you get it? And you're going to have such massive sway. Paul the Apostle knew about governmental authority when he said the kingdom of God is not in what we say, but in what we do. And he says, I want to come and see a demonstration of the kingdom of God in your existence, in your church at Corinth. So there is a tremendous amount of authority and power that God wants to lay upon our lives as the shoulder ministry in the earth. Now, don't be surprised by that. God gave governmental power to Joseph. He gave governmental power to King David. He gave governmental power to Solomon. He gave governmental power to Hezekiah. And go on down the list. God has always given governmental power upon mere men. And what does that mean? When God anointed a king, that means God's anointing was upon that king to exercise God's will in the earth. And yet the church is so surprised that God wants us to have his governmental power to begin to do things in this earth that will bring forth a witness of God's eternal kingdom. I got news for you. Either you is or you ain't. And I shouldn't say it that way. But that's the fact. If you don't understand what you're all about in your generation, well, then you're missing it. And I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of God that everything you're going through, whether you're being thrown into prison, chased by Saul, hated by the religious system, I don't know what you're going through, disrespected, dishonored, put down, disgraced. That's all part of getting humble so God could raise us up. Come on. You are a governmental people. You have power. You have authority. But it's not just a general thing. You have to understand the timing. You are living at the time of the end. Yes, the time of the end began long ago, but now we are at the end of 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 the ages. And so what does God say to us? Well, what I want to do, and then I want to get to some scriptures, I want to go now to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 2, but let's see. Zephaniah chapter... Is it 2 or 3, Lord? Help me. All right, so let's get to Zephaniah and let's get to chapter 3. And here it is. You ready? And I'm going to begin in verse 6, just to bring a little context. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 6. This is the prophet Zephaniah speaking. I have wiped out many nations, devastating their fortress walls and towers. Their cities are now deserted. Their streets are in silent ruin. There are no survivors to even tell what happened. I thought, surely they will have reverence for me now. Surely they will listen to my warnings, so I won't need to strike again. But no. However much I punish them, they continue their evil practices from dawn till dusk and dusk till dawn. So now the Lord says, be patient. The time is coming soon when I will stand up and accuse these evil nations, for it is my decision to gather together the kingdoms of the earth, pour out my fiercest anger and fury on them. All the earth will be devoured by the fire of my jealousy. Now listen to verse 9. On that day, I will purify the lips of all people so that everyone will be able to worship the Lord together. My scattered people who live beyond the rivers of Ethiopia will come to present their offerings. Now, let me read that to you out of the King James, because here's a Hebrew word in here that has to be understood. All right, so Zephaniah chapter 3, let me get there, thank you, and let's look at this same verse, and it says this. What does it say? It says, am I in the right spot here? I love when that happens. You know what? Let me go back and look at verse 2. Where are you? All right, so here's what we're going to have to do. Let me do this. Forgive me for this little delay here. It's okay. It's okay, Mr. Xavier. So I'm going to go here and say, and let's see, I'm going to type that little word in, and I'm going to find myself here because this is so important. I'm sure, you know, this is the big kahuna stuff. Okay, here's where we're going to go. A pure language. You ready for this? Pure language. I know this isn't very professional, but you know what? Whoever said we were professionals. All right, Zephaniah 3:9. Here's where we want to get. All right, so I was in the right place, wrong translation. So Zephaniah 3:9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language. Okay, a pure language. That they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Now, that's the actual King James. That is the Hebrew. And let me read that verse one more time. Zephaniah 3:9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. Praise God. You know what that means? It's going to be one voice, one accord. A pure language is that there aren't going to be 3,700 different doctrines. There's going to be a pure language in the house of God. Watch this. That they all may call upon me, right? That they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. And the mystery here is in the word consent, to serve him with one consent. The Hebrew word for consent is shechem. And the word shechem means the neck, between the shoulders. It means shoulder to shoulder. Now watch this. Serving the Lord with one shoulder. The shoulder represents the government of God. He's going to restore a pure language. Let's get it right now. He's going to restore to the people a pure language so that they may serve God shoulder to shoulder in literal governmental authority and power. How many of you know the reason why the church is not ruling and reigning right now is because we don't have a pure language? The reason why the ecclesia, the house of God, the kingdom of God through the church is not ruling and reigning is because we have confused language. We have a Babylonian language in the church. And it's not purposeful by many good people. It's just a reality of how confusing things are in these days that we're living in. And the powers of darkness know if you divide the church, you conquer it. It can never do it. But there will be through the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, anointed by God's Holy Spirit, there will be a people that will receive those ministries that will grow up into maturity. They will find themselves with others who have been brought to that same place in the Spirit. They will speak the same language. They will have the same mind, and they will begin to govern the universe, yes, the earth, and all things. They're going to rule and reign. This is God's intent for your life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, beloved? Because it is the truth. I'm just sharing with you right now the truth of what God is wanting to say to you. Now, here's what we're going to do this now. We're going to go to a word because here's how we began our program today. Let me just say, this is what the Holy Spirit said to do. Awake, awake, put on righteousness, for the day of the Lord is near. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. According to Romans chapter 13, the saints are called to cast off the works of darkness and to arm themselves with light and truth. And this is what I really want to talk about today. So, you just heard something. I want to see law for a moment. You see, this message that you're hearing right now is not for everyone. As a matter of fact, the majority of people will turn this message away. They don't want to hear this. You have a people in the earth today that are nothing but earthly-minded people. Every bit, every part, every step of their life is all about the natural. I have just presented to you a spiritual truth and a reality in God's Word about who you are. Most people will turn this message off. Why? I have no idea. I do not understand why men and women of faith would ever turn away God's purpose and plan for their lives. That you in this generation are being raised up and are going through what you're going through to make you ready and prepared to rule and reign from a spiritual perspective with a spiritual authority and a spiritual anointing. Now, I believe God is training us up because in the last days there's going to come a demonic evil like the world has never seen before. We've already established that point. And so the only way that there will be a contending is through a people that have been properly prepared and equipped to have that spiritual authority of the government of God to withstand and overcome the darkness that's coming. Now, again, this is the message the devil does not want to get out. This is the message that the devil wants to stop people from hearing. He doesn't mind if we hear about all the stuff that we talk about all the time, right? But I've always found it interesting that when I shift into a spiritual reality about who we are in Christ and what God is doing in our lives and raising us up and preparing us, this is the time where things get a little bit awkward, because what I'm sharing with you right now is the absolute undoing of Satan and his power and his kingdom and his authority. I'm telling you, this is not just going to come from Jesus coming out of the sky. There is dominion and power and authority in this earth, in a shoulder, in a body that has been raised up from the foundation, the feet, the legs, the knees, the thighs, the stomach, the heart, the chest, and to the shoulders. We have come to the shoulder ministry. We're living in the prophetic third day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. What is he talking about? And he said, he's talking about the temple of his body. We're in the third day. We've come to the shoulder, the completing time. The scaffolding has to be taken away. The body of Christ has to appear. Now, many members of this body are already in the spiritual realm. They're in another dimension. They are in another dimension, but they're very much aware, very much awakened, very much alive. And if I had an understanding, if I could somehow translate what I see in the spirit to you, the heavens are awakened and there's rumbling and movement and there's all kinds of activity because they know the time has come. And the revelation has to come down to the people of God on this earth in our generation to understand that we're about to be joined with the rest of the members of the body of Christ in heaven, and there's a connection about to be made. They were prepared on earth in their generation as walls, you know, as windows, as floors, as bathrooms, you know, whatever you want to call it. Even the temple had the dung gate, for goodness sake. So there's something that has been building for 2,000 years. It's never stopped being built. And the reason why you and I are here in the year 2017 is that we are those final stones being built in to the finality of all things. It's come to the end. And then what happens in the book of Zechariah? You know what it says. You know what it says. Let's get there. It's going to cry something. There's a shout being made. And it is what? Grace, grace. Watch this. Here it is. In Zechariah 4. Let's read it here. Zechariah chapter 4. And I think I want to get into verse 6. He answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the what? He shall bring forth the headstone. Oh, man, what is a headstone? A headstone. You know what it is. It's the stone. It's the final stone. Jesus is the cornerstone, and he's the headstone. Watch. He's the cornerstone, the very beginning of the foundation, and he is also the headstone. And so it says, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace, unto it. This is a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ coming as the headstone, the finality to the building that has been erected for 2,000 years, and we're now at the shoulder ministry. So what is the word of the Lord then to the people of God? What is God saying to his people in this time? Well, I want to get to it because I'm going to start in Isaiah, and this is what the Lord is wanting to do. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Verse 17 of Isaiah 51 says, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Isaiah 52:1, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Is that not what we're being built ultimately? To be the city of God, the new Jerusalem? Oh, yes, dear friends. So we have these scriptures in Isaiah, awake, awake, right? And then in Joel chapter 1, awake, you drunkards, and weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine. And then in Habakkuk, it tells us in verse... Well, I'm going to leave those alone. And then how about we get into the New Testament? And I love these. I want to go, first of all, 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Listen to that instruction. Awake to righteousness and sin not. What is God saying? Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Of course, I want to get to Romans 13, and then we're going to consummate all this conversation. In Romans 13, 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Okay, let's put it together. You ready? God's been building a project. It's been under construction for 2,000 years. We talked at the beginning. Many, many projects in the Bible, from the building of an ark to the building of a mobile tabernacle of Moses to a temple of Solomon, and on down through the ages, you could see building projects. God is a builder. He built all things. The universe was built by him. He's a builder. There's no doubt. But 2,000 years ago, he began the project of all projects. He began to build an eternal dwelling place, not somewhere in the celestial sky, but in the spirit of the people whom he has chosen. And how does he know who he's chosen? By those who have accepted his son, Jesus Christ, and his death upon the cross and the shedding of his blood, so that we may be purchased and brought back. And then we would be refurbished and restored as spiritual stones being built into his spiritual abode. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the work. And what God is saying through the Awake Scriptures is wake up to the reality of your destiny. Awake to righteousness. Get the darkness out of your mind. Stop thinking that you're some wandering star just moving around aimlessly. You are connected to an eternal purpose. Everything you're going through in your life right now is subject to the refiner's fire because he's got to make sure that that stone is purified. Oh, yes. I'd love to hear your thoughts. The number to call, 818-369-0326. If you've been tuned in this morning and maybe you've got some complimentary things to say, or maybe you're just excited as I am about this revelation, 818-369-0326. is the number to call. Remember to press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right in. It's 10 minutes until 10 o'clock. We've got about 10 minutes. And again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad, and then we could have our conversation. I believe what the Spirit of God has just done was talk to somebody out there to remind you of what this is all about. You are not living for your own will, your own purpose. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the purpose of God for your life at this time is to make you a part of the end of this building project, which is the shoulder ministry, so he may endow you with spiritual authority to have dominion over all the earth once again, to rule with the authority of Jesus Christ. This isn't some abstract rule and reign. Christ is ruling and reigning, and he wants to put that power and authority on you in your life. But he's not doing it in one person. He's doing it in a shoulder ministry of people all over the world right now. Oh, man. All I could say is Mamma Mia. And when I say Mamma Mia, I always refer to my beloved wife, Patricia. Hello, Patricia. What do you think about this morning?
I think that that is so encouraging and so wonderful to hear with all of the dismay that is going on in the earth right now, giving such hope, such vital hope of what we have been called for at a time such as this. And it couldn't be more exciting to anyone who really understands God's will for our lives. I mean, it is outstanding. And I pray and hope that multitudes of people heard this, that know him. And if they don't know him, they'll begin to know him because of the glory in which he is handing to his children. And, you know, that's Christ in us, the hope of glory, but he's fulfilling that within us. And we are the government of God, have been in this country from the very beginning when Christians ruled. Now he's going to reestablish us in a greater, more magnificent way over the whole earth. And yet the New World Order wants that position. The New World Order desires to have control all over the earth, but the Lord has granted it to his government and his government alone, and I am just very praising God. You hear what I heard?
Hallelujah. Well, you know, I am too, because it puts everything in perspective, and, you know, it's a time when things are critical that God is, he begins to raise people up, whether it's Esther during the crises of the Jews in Persia, whether it's Moses, build an ark because there's another crisis coming upon the earth. God is always building, preparing, raising something up at the most critical times in the history of his eternal purpose. So again, the number to call, 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad. Patricia, what's interesting is, normally, when I'm looking at my screen about people that are listening, the lines are packed out. People are listening. My screen is filled. Today, there were 3 people that were tuned in on the phone. Now, I know they're listening on Omega Radio and some of that, but let's take our next call because this is a friend, obviously, that was tuning in all the way from South Dakota. This must be Ken or Kathy Bruns. Welcome to the broadcast, y'all. What'd you hear today?
Oh, yeah, Vincent, I heard you today, and I've been thinking, I have a real interesting remark and then a question. Okay, the time that we're coming into, and it's already approaching, and you talked about the third day, that is the fulfillment then. Is that the fulfillment of God's glory on his remnant people? And the other question is this: when we come into this fullness, is it possible that some of us could be martyred for the faith, or will we have a different body?
Well, but I want Patricia to answer the first part of your question, but when it comes to martyrdom, here's what I truly believe. I truly believe that this end time remnant of the shoulder ministry of God, that those who are equipped with the spiritual authority, they are going to take the head off of Goliath. They're going to slay the dragon in the sea. They're not going to be the martyrs. I do believe there will be martyrs. I do believe there'll be an untold multitude of believers that are going into the great tribulation. They're going to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb during that time. But I do believe that this shoulder ministry in the last days of the 144,000 sanctified sons and daughters of Almighty God, without gender, just spiritually ablaze with this kingdom power, that they are not going to be martyred. I believe they are going to be the undoing of the satanic kingdom, because they are connected so intricately with the neck, the shoulder, the neck, the head. There's a unity there that is extremely powerful. The whole body is, but those are my thoughts. Patricia, do you have another way of answering that question?
I would like to know the beginning of the other question. What you had mentioned, by the way, I'm in total agreement with. He is raising up an end time army now. And I believe that those who endure to the end, like any army, and don't get distracted by the ways of the beast, government of this world, and come out from her, my people, they will go into the wilderness and be taken care for time and a half. But I didn't get the first portion of that question.
Kathy, what did you say at the beginning? What was the beginning of your question?
Well, I'm talking about the fullness of the Lord. God's people, the remnant, coming into the fullness. And I know that represents the glory, but I know when you had that Brother Daniel from Australia, and he was talking about martyrdom too coming, and when we had a personal talk there, and he said that's if the people that have already given their lives, which is thousands and millions, you know, that is the greatest thing, that, you know, to be martyred for Jesus Christ, because you're not going to give in to the beast system. So this does make sense. Like Patricia just said, it's an area of how much we're going to overcome then. Are we going to be the 30, 60, or 100, I suppose? Or, I don't know. What is your opinion?
Well, I believe in the perspective of what God was calling us to, there will be martyrs. There have been martyrs for the last 2,000 years. And at the end of this age, we have seen more martyrism than we ever have from the very, very beginning when the church was first established. It has more numbers of those who have been martyred, and they are going to be established greatly in the heavenly realm. But I don't believe that they have been given opportunity that we have been given. For whom much is given, much is expected. And this country has been given much, especially in the way of true Christianity, except for those who have turned it around and made it less than what it could be by doctrinal error. But I do believe that those who have heard the call in these last days, the soldiers of the Lord, there are different groups, will be hearing that very thing that he has been calling us to in operation, to take that which has been given to us. Wherever we put our feet becomes ours. What we put our hand to becomes ours and blessed. And we have to know who we are, though. It's a calling on who we are, who we know who we are. Yeah.
All right. I apologize for the interruption. We have got to get going. We're down to our last 60 seconds here. I think it was a great call. And this should be the thing that takes up most of our time in these moments. I believe that God has had you to tune into this moment to get a understanding, a spiritual understanding, an awakening. Get clear of all the fog that's out there. Get your head in the heavens. Understand what you're doing here right now on this earth at this time, chosen, selected by God, because you have received his son. That means that's the real choosing. And he's been preparing you to function within his house. And you are that shoulder ministry. So he wants you to learn how to function in the full weight and authority. Yes, there will be martyrs. Those are people that lay their lives down and do not resist their persecutors. Then there will be persecution, like we saw in Texas. Yes, there will be beheadings and attacks and all kinds of evil things. There's no doubt what's coming is horrific, but there's a government of God rising up. And if you're hearing this, it may very well be that you're a part of that end time reality. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. You've been listening to The Watchman here on Omega Radio Network. We'll talk to you real soon. Shalom.